Dable, the Rising Sun Hotel South Melbourne are our sponsors for the month of June.
That is absolutely epic news, Mads.
Look, they're synonymous with the Swannies, Dable, from the days of Bobby Skilton to now with Buddy Franklin.
And I can tell you as fact, Mads, that there is no better atmosphere in Melbourne for all the Swannies home games than getting down to the Rising Sun at number 2 Raglan Street, South Melbourne.
Well, you're amongst friends, beer's flowing, and maybe you can even get stuck into some of the True Bloods cocktails, Dable.
Sounds like a bloody good idea, Mads.
G'day, Mickey O from the Swans. You're listening to True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast. Go, boys.
Jeez, this is the most one-eyed podcast.
Yeah, it's what we're here to do.
Let's go. Let's actually go.
For mine, boys.
For yours, then.
I'm about to blow a gasket in here.
You've kicked 3 goals for the day, Dable.
What is going on?
Damaging team.
Damaging disposal.
He's been very, very average.
Our best is the best in the competition. This is True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast, back in the Image Online studio in Abbotsford to review the disappointing loss to the Saints, the upcoming clash against the Lions on Friday night, and everything else. Sydney Swans, joined as always by the number one co-host, Madison Clark. How are you, mate?
I'm well, mate. I'm well.
That's the way. We're back in the studio to review another loss, unfortunately.
It's becoming all a bit too regular, isn't it?
Little bit too frequent, isn't it? It's not the way we want to be coming in here every Tuesday night, and it's always a lot better when you're more jovial and you're celebrating 4 points and you've got the stories about how many beers you drank after the game and you're having a great time, but
unmitigated disaster.
Yeah, it was really disappointing not to be able to close out that game.
Run over again on our home deck. Can you bloody believe it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I just watched a bit of the highlights package, mate, because I'm starting to deal with it a bit like you did. You previously did, is sort of walk away from it.
What I've always done, yeah, and what I always will do.
Yeah, and then come back to it and revisit it when we do have to dissect it as such. But geez, we had some patches of complete and utter dominance, Mads, and that's the best way I can put it. That first quarter was something to be seen, though, wasn't it?
It was.
I think it
was probably the worst first quarter of football from both sides that I've ever seen in my life.
That I've ever seen. You know, my footy group chats were going off and we're like, what the fuck is going on here? The skills were, you know, it's so subpar it wasn't even funny. And it was both sides were making critical errors. And, you know, it tells in the score, a scoreless quarter from the Swannies.
Do you reckon the commentators could have mentioned that more times?
Yeah, they did.
That was, let's just hold it there. That was the worst commentary team I've ever heard.
Who was on?
Hammer.
Yeah.
Couldn't even tell you who else. They were absolute garbage, Deebs. I tried to mute it.
Channel 7, though, some of them, buddy, do it remotely, even not at the game. I think they were at that one. But
It was the D team, Deeble. It was horrible.
Yeah, we tend to not get the A-grade commentary team. That's for sure. But, yeah, that first quarter, mate, had a lot to be desired. And, you know, although we had played terribly, we were well and truly in it with only the one goal being kicked. But, yeah, we sort of jump into that second quarter and it was still a lot of the same. It wasn't until about 13 minutes to go, so 7 goals at 7 minutes gone, that Papley, you know, kicked that first goal and finished nicely on the right with a buddy contest, which he did all night, competed well on one of the, you know, the better full forwards in the game. And to any of the faithful who wonder why Buddy Franklin's in this team, that's why.
Yep.
He's probably playing on the All-Australian fullback in Wilkie, and he competed hard, you know, kicked 2 goals on him in 10 minutes or something like that in the second quarter and was doing his job. But, you know, Papley gets us off the mark, and that sort of led to a 10-minute patch of footy where it was complete and utter dominance.
Complete and utter dominance, teams. And I think, you know, we're in a situation where those things occur in a game and we're like, hold on, we're actually on here.
Yeah.
We're actually on here. We are going to belt the Saints after not scoring a goal in the first quarter. They went absolutely ballistic.
Berserk. It was everything out of the middle. The clearance game was high. Oh, the midfield just completely overworking the Saints. And to just not be able to convert 75% of the chances, that's where I see as a pass mark. If you've kicked 75% of your opportunities,
undeniably,
you are going to go a long way to winning the game. Because not, I mean, I think the average is 67 in the AFL, yep, of accuracy. But we kicked five goals, in a burst of 10 to 15 minutes.
James, we've had 10 scoring shots and they've had what? Three.
Yep.
10 to three. Should be three goals up at least.
Three goals
at
up.
At least.
And then we can, you know, we concede some late goals from free kicks, which were three, how many goals? All three goals in the second quarter were from free kicks.
That kills you.
One to King, one Chad holding the ball, absolutely there.
Absolutely there.
And then the soft one of Foxy Buddy touching whatever his name is.
What a joke.
That was.
I almost broke
this
my
is the
TV.
Thing that... If you play up to the free kick and grab your face or go to ground or whatever, you get the free kick generally. When they play it up, they get the free kick. And
that's,
I think,
right,
that the AFL, the umpires just need to be a little bit more smarter. Like, have a look at what's going on. Just because someone grabs their face doesn't mean they've been hit.
And what were they doing? The umpires were calling play on very quickly. What's something else?
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
That, well, they were pinging us for short 15 kicks at the start.
All the time.
Right. There was three or four of them. I was like, yeah, well, hopefully this goes both ways, which I don't feel it did. But you do miss that stuff when you don't have the ball. But they were calling. And then people supposedly stepping off their line for play on when they're just going back.
Yeah.
That was so frustrating, mate. But yeah, to not put it on the scoreboard like we did, like we needed to.
Well, Deebs, here's the thing, okay? We, five behinds in the second quarter, five more behinds in the third quarter.
Yeah.
That's your ball game. That is your ball game, Deebs.
Yeah.
Nothing more needs to be said. It's a kicking deficiency.
Yeah. And
it is absolutely abhorrent.
And it's been consistent all year.
It's been the one thing that has always come to bite us on the ass, is our inability to take opportunities when we work so damn hard to get the opportunities.
And it was even, who kicked that goal? After Rizzle Dizzle had kicked that goal from that soft free kick that he got.
Joke.
Not there either. After that, we kicked four consecutive behinds. Well, 7-6 and went to 7-10 in about 4 or 5 minutes of footy in the back end of that third quarter. And it deflates the team when you're not finishing the work.
It does the exact opposite. It's a momentum killer.
Yeah.
It's an absolute momentum killer. And then you drop your heads. Whoever's missed the opportunity drops their head. You've done all this hard work for nothing. And lo and behold, things just continue not to work.
They do. They do. And it's just frustrating as a supporter. We sit down and watch and we're getting ourselves in these winning positions weekly, right? I think...
But are we though?
Look,
are we?
I think we are.
Are we? Because if we are getting ourselves in a winning position, you're kicking more than 5-5 in that quarter. You're kicking more than 2-5 in the third quarter.
Yeah, when
that's you're... not a winning position, Deebs. They're the ones that you look at and you say, geez, if you're a neutral, you go, geez, this is going to come back and bite them on the arse.
Oh, no, 100% it's going to come back and bite you, right? But you're in the position to win the game. It's not as if you're out of it.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've shown in what, three games at
three
home
games,
now, we've done exactly the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
And every single time, it's been the same outcome.
Yeah. And it's this thing with sort of 5-6 minutes to go. We're down by a goal and we don't have the ability to be clean under pressure. And we take the game on and we concede. And then you're two goals down with 4 minutes to go. And it's bloody hard.
Well, look.
And we're getting, it got to 20 points in the end. And Lloyd kicks that equaliser.
And look, if I look at it, with our injuries at the moment, right, we've got to rely on certain people to move the ball from half back through the midfield to someone to kick a goal, right?
Yeah.
There has to be those rebounding players that have to step up and take the role on, right? Ollie Florent, he went at 65%. Now, I know people say it's the best game Ollie Florent's ever had. Ollie Florent butchered the ball that badly in the first quarter along with everyone else. It really impacted us in the first quarter. Ollie, 65%. Braden Campbell, 65%. Justin McInerney, 52%. Errol Goulden, 50%. Isaac Heaney, 63%.
Yeah.
That is, you're making it very, very hard for yourself to play strong link-up football through the corridor when you cannot hit targets.
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really bad efficiency. Now, when you consider our injuries, you know, these are some of the prime rebound players currently. Your Braden Campbells, your Justin McInerneys. Nick Blakey was injured very early in the game.
Went into the game with it.
Yeah, we didn't have his run.
Yeah.
Right? We simply didn't have that ability to break lines, so other people had to step up. And when you can't hit targets, makes it very, very hard. And do not get me started on Justin McInerney's kick to Isaac Heaney on the halfback line in the fourth quarter, because that needed to be, you don't remember it, do you?
No, I
don't. It needed to be, both of them did something wrong. It needed to be a bullet pass. It was right, so he was on sort of the halfback flank.
It wasn't a direct turnover, was it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
He was on the halfback flank on, unless I'm remembering it incorrectly, but he was on the halfback flank on the sort of commentary side, kicked it inboard to Heaney, who's pretty much a true centre-half back.
Stationary.
And Heaney's stationary. Yeah. And Juzzy has just... in fact, I'm not going to call him Juzzy. I'm going to call him Justin until he hits those kicks. He just floated it to him, but Isaac didn't come to it either. Just stood there, turnover, way you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frustrating stuff, but...
But it's those simple things that we pride ourselves on, Deebs.
Yeah.
It's
the game plan,
mate. Well, mate, that was the hallmark of our whole season.
Yeah.
Just hit targets all day, every day. Yeah. Elite by foot.
Yeah.
It's completely escaped us.
Yeah. Well, I'm not to counter that per se, but the St Kilda pressure was fucking phenomenal all night. That was that is the highest pressure game of a team this year, and it showed in the rushness and the inability to hit targets like we should be.
A lot of kicking and hope.
There was. There was a lot of dump kicking and, you know, but yeah, St Kilda's pressure was phenomenal and at the end of the day caused those errors to happen. But yeah.
But you've got to be able to. That comes down to coaching. You've got to be able to
pivot.
withstand that pressure. Change the way you're going about it.
Yeah.
Hold on to the footy more. Control it.
Yeah, we didn't see the kick mark game a lot.
That's a pretty easy way to resolve it.
Yeah, it just gives you a chance to, you know, move the zone from side to side and then, you know, give the guys off half back, you know, a chance to, you know, run and gun and
just
hit the target.
Take some of the sting out of it.
Which we have been doing in the past.
That's what I didn't understand. I kept saying, just slow it down, keep possession. Because there was a period in the third quarter where we didn't possess the football for like 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was the start, that first half of that third quarter was relatively average as well. But, you know, we found a way to get on top there, but once again, just simply couldn't put it on the scoreboard. And scoreboard pressure is so underrated. You know, we're sitting there watching that game just knowing it's going to kill us.
Yeah.
And even the guys in the faithful chat on the Facebook were saying this reeks of, you know, GWS you know, this is a three-quarter time.
Matty Mozdas. Yeah. Mozdas big time.
You know, we're up by a goal going into that third quarter, but, you know, it reeked of Port Adelaide, reeked of GWS. And, you know, once again, we've been run over in the last quarter.
At home. On our home deck, Deeble.
Yeah, Friday night footy, AFL
World. Thursday
night footy, AFL World's watching you.
And we're a joke.
Yeah.
We're at the butt end of many, many jokes at the moment because we simply cannot run out games.
Yeah.
And it all started last year. Preliminary final.
Yeah. Yeah, it all stopped there.
Now tell me. What was Ryan Clark's role?
It's baffling, isn't it? It's now, I'm glad you brought it up.
Jack Sinclair,
yep,
literally brought his own football.
32 or something. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. Ryan Clark is not a pressure forward. Ryan Clark is not a half forward flanker.
Now, don't get me wrong, though.
No, just let me make this comparison. Yep. Ryan Clark is not an Errol Goulden coming into the side, is he?
No, he's not.
And he did it so successfully last year. It started with Jack Sinclair last year, and he took plenty of guys' numbers fucking last year and took them to the cleaners and locked them down and ran
took
with them all day.
Stable.
Took some scalps, but I don't understand why they're not doing it.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the Telstra tracker,
yes,
you'll see that he was literally wandering around aimlessly. 50% time in the defensive half of the ground,
yeah.
50% time in the forward half. So what are you actually doing? Yeah. What is your role?
You've
had one tackle.
Yeah.
You've had one tackle.
Well, he genuinely didn't have the role.
Like there was no role. There's nothing out there.
Yeah.
There's no role.
That's what he is, a role player.
He's a role player. You put butter on him, he is a role.
He's a role. Yeah, absolutely.
But this is not... I love Ryan Clark.
Same.
I'm a big advocate of the Moore Park butcher.
Yeah.
And he did, and boy, did he butcher it on the weekend. But it's very simple. We know exactly what we need to do with Ryan Clark.
Well, that's what he's in the side to do.
And that could have fixed a lot of the issues.
Yeah.
32 for Jack Sinclair.
It's like and they were putting Sinclair in the guts too, right? He was coming off half back. And
Ryan Clark can go in the guts.
He can go in the guts too.
He's got a tank.
It's just like they're not backing him. This year. It's so odd. So odd. It was literally a catalyst for...
Our success.
Our success last year.
Yeah.
Ryan Clark going to a role, dead set, not being rude, he's a dead set average player, right? But when he is given a role to shut someone down, run with him all day, don't give him a step, we improve as a footy team, and
absolutely,
he's so good at it.
Absolutely.
Horse. Coaching side, why? Tell me why.
Yep.
I'm so happy you brought it up, mate. It's... doesn't it just kill you?
It's cooked, man. It's really hard to watch. We play a shit brand of footy.
Oh, I'm not going out.
Yep, I am.
No.
I am. We were disgraceful to watch.
Yeah, it's skill execution.
We were crap to watch against North, and we were crap to watch against St Kilda.
Yeah.
We only returned to a little bit of that form against Carlton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really, really bad stuff. We don't know. Gowie said it. We don't even know what the plan A is sometimes.
Yeah.
Why are you playing scared? Play the corridor. Step up, Juzzy. Step up, Braden. Do these guys have a license? Give him a license.
Yeah.
Juzzy can run.
Yeah, they can run. Like, I take the... I see, I'm giving a lot of credit to St Kilda on the weekend.
Oh, 100%.
And that's...
100%.
And they caused a lot of the issues. But it's skill execution.
That's what I mean. But if there's these issues being caused, you need to be agile and adaptive.
Yeah.
You need to say, okay, well, hold on, this isn't working. Let's try our sort of chip around game.
Yeah.
If that doesn't work, do something else.
It's the ability to pivot. But up until, you know, the end of that third quarter, this is what I mean. We're in the game. It's not like we're down by five goals chasing tail, right? We had the ability to win that game and simply got outworked in that last quarter. That's why I'm not...
I would be forgiving of that, though, if it wasn't the third time that that's happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does this come down to coaching? Deebs, if Longmire was in Melbourne, it's a completely different story. He would be under so much pressure.
I don't think you are with making a grand final last year. Simple as that.
I think you still are.
I don't think so.
After being there for that long.
You can't say that we would be under the pressure of
not like, not not like the Carlton pressure, not the pressure of Voss. Maybe that was putting a bit of mail on it.
Yeah.
But if we were a Melbourne club and the media actually paid attention to us, there'd be a lot of pressure. There's no pressure up there, man.
Yeah, there's no pressure, but you look at the demographic of the side, and they're.
I agree.
That's why the pressure isn't coming.
I agree, but we're not playing that. You know, we've got a young team, so let's just let them go and play.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like they have that license to just play. They seem a little bit confused.
Yeah. It's at the end of the day, we're dead set underperforming with the talent that's on this list.
Now, that is not to say, I still think injuries are a massive factor here. It's the sum of all parts, Steeps.
Yeah.
Because when you're not executing on field, you need to look to your leaders to get you back into the game, get you back into the rhythm, back into their headspace, back especially into that winning mentality.
That fourth quarter.
Absolutely. So you don't have Mills there, you don't have Parker there, right? Yeah, that's big.
Huge.
That's massive. So I'm cognizant of that, and I understand that. But then also, people need to step up. Heans needed to step up.
Yeah.
He didn't step up.
Yeah, he's an interesting one, isn't it? He's never going to be an accumulator, so you can't expect him to accumulate.
Why not, though? Why not?
Some footballers are, some footballers aren't.
But why isn't he?
I don't know. It's like why is Angus Sheldrick an in and under player? It's like, yeah, just like, the way they are.
But I mean, there's nothing about the way Isaac Heaney, the way he plays football, his body size, that says he can't be an accumulator.
Yeah.
You know, why can't he be?
Don't know. I don't have the question.
It's ridiculous, but like I just feel like there's still leaders there that should be able to step up in those situations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rampy was underdone.
Underdone. You think you had the 20.
Now, Dave, I'll ask you another question.
Yeah.
Why was Amati sub?
Fuck me, mate. Don't get me started on this one. Sort of, we had a brief phone conversation. I didn't want to really even listen to what you were saying because you're like, I think Armadi's sub. And I was like, fucking surely not. It just does not make sense. In my interpretation of the sub, it should be someone...
versatile.
Who is versatile. If you get an injury on ball, he can potentially go in there. If we lose, you know, a big forward, he can be a marking target. If he... you know, it allows you to move the magnets to move the appropriate players around. When you're bringing in Joel Armati, who is underdone, who's just done a hamstring tendon, and you want him to go in front of the footy and take big grabs and smash packs, that aspect of the game was fine on the weekend. That's not what we needed. We needed injection of speed or, you know, run and carry, something like that, or the ability to go and win the ball in the middle. And right? That's what we needed.
Exactly. And I guess, you know, if you're going to look at the perfect sub, right, that's a bit of a unicorn, right? You're not going to get a sub who can play defense, forward, midfield, wing.
And that's not what I'm saying. It gives you the ability.
You just need somebody a little bit more versatile than an underdone forward.
Yeah.
You know, I would have preferred a Corey Warner in there.
100%.
But look, and Faithful, we're not being negative here. You can probably just hear in our voices there's an element of frustration.
Yeah.
Because we know... the fact still remains, Faithful. Our best is the best in the competition. And we haven't gotten close to playing like that this year. Yep. And it's bloody frustrating. And as I said before, it's a sum of all parts. Because the injuries, as we know, that kills you.
Yep.
That absolutely kills you. And we have not been able to catch a break. Am I giving up in any way, shape or form? No. I don't want to be seen to be, you know, talking about Horse being under pressure. I don't want Horse to go in any way, shape or form. I think Horse has shown time and time again that he can step up and be the coach that we think he is. I just think there needs to be a rocket under them, and it needs to be the coaching team to deliver that at the moment.
Yeah, we need some guys to step up, and I think just because everyone's getting thrown around, whether it's, you know, your two prime mids in Parker and Mills, you know, just there's no continuity, bro. And that cannot be underestimated.
Absolutely.
Like, you got, you know,
it's hard.
You got key backs coming in every week and then forwards getting chucked around. It's on all three lines, you know, and, you know, I think the hick could be past it. I think the ruck is a really big concern. The ability not to get first use tap to advantage is hurting us a lot. But
especially when you don't have your Parker and Mills in there.
For sure. For sure.
So,
I think that's where we could be looking to really add some, you know, some high-end talent.
Well, you look at the ruckman, the teams with great ruck stocks. They're pretty versatile,
right?
They can get around the ground. You look at your Rowan Marshalls. You look at your, you know, not really Max Gawn, but Brody Grundy, for instance, on King's birthday, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
So the shining light for me was Angus Sheldrick.
Yeah, great to see him go really well on the ball and be played in the position that he plays in.
Yeah.
You know, in and under ball, tried real hard.
Absolutely.
And this is the thing. It's a great thing that we can sit here and we're not questioning effort.
No.
We're bloody trying hard.
Yeah. It's just skill execution.
Skill execution.
And not being adaptive when things aren't going your way. They're the two main issues for me. Yeah. And of course, injuries.
And the big and scoreboard pressure, mate. It's we're not capitalizing.
A few things wrong there, David.
we're not capitalizing on the dominance we have in games. Most weeks we're getting a run of, you know, 10, 15 minutes where literally the opposition is not getting their hand on the ball.
Mm.
And we have these rush shots and just not being able to execute and take the most of the opportunities and reward the hard work. It's not quite there, mate. I could rant and rave.
Today, it's not the day the teddy bears had their picnic.
Yeah, it's you know, it's 30 minutes of, you know, it is a slightly negative tone tonight, for sure.
It's not negative. It's frustration.
Yeah, it's frustration.
It's not negative. We back these guys to the hilt.
Yeah.
But it's just not. There's just certain things that aren't working at the moment. And if you look at the club internally, they'd be thinking the same thing. They're frustrated.
Yeah.
100% they're frustrated.
Yeah.
They want to win. We've got to get some cattle back.
Get some cattle back, and it gives you a chance just to shore up what we want to execute. It's like Armady, McLean back now. Buddy's playing every week. Hickey's in there. Look, you're looking very tall again.
Yeah.
It's... And this is a thing, they're probably going to play around with team dynamic and, you know, you're just trying things now. But we need to be settled. We're so unsettled.
What is it, round 14?
Yeah.
Haven't been settled once.
Yeah. It's like that, the last eight rounds last year, we made like six changes or something. Berserk.
And they were changes out of just wanting to do them, not necessity.
Yeah. Ah, mate, but yeah, it doesn't get any easier this week either, mate. It's coming up against the Lions, who were coming off a loss at the G against Hawthorn, and they'll be looking to rebound. But
we'll probably win.
Probably win. Backs up against the wall. This is when we love it, mate. This is when we love it. But we might jump into a little bit of positivity. It might not even be positivity with the social seg.
We'll make it positive.
For sure, mate, but we'll be back right after this.
How good's this, Deeble? The Rising Sun Hotel in South Melbourne are hosting us and the faithful for the game against the West Coast Eagles at 4:30 p.m. on the 24th of June.
How good is that, Mads? We'll be upstairs in the True Bloods room, and I hear they've got some drink specials for us.
They do, Dable. $4.50 pots, $9 pints of Carlton, and $5 wines from 3:30 till 5 p.m. And don't forget, $12 Bloods cocktails. They've got the South Side and they've got the Bloods Negroni cocktails. So let's get cracking, Debo.
Goes really nicely, that one, Mads, the old Negroni. But they've also got some live music on Sundays as well.
They do. They have a great Sunday session from 3 p.m. till 6 p.m. You can check out all their live music on their website calendar. Just search up Rising Sun Hotel South Melbourne.
How good. So, faithful, get down to the Rising Sun on the 24th of June. Drink specials from 3:30. Get down and support the Bloods and the Rising Sun.
Welcome back to True Bloods. Stick fat, faithful.
Stick fat.
And, of course, the social segment is brought to you by Wheeler's Oyster Farm, 162 Arthur Kane Drive, Pambula. Open, closed oysters, Deeble. Go and see Jimmy at the shed.
You go see Jimmy in the shed. You mention True Bloods or you're a Swannies supporter. You go in there, you see Jimmy, and you get your, you know what, you get your opened oysters, right? And you take it, you pop over to Auntie Ned and Uncle Pals, and you say, I'm a fan of the podcast. And say, oh, is there any chance I can just whip up some Oyster Kilpatrick's? Or some Oyster Mornay? Or some Natural with just a dash of lemon, Madison Clark? I'm telling you, mate, they're the best in Australia.
I'll tell you what. You don't have to really wrestle Jimmy to eat them, do you? Because Jimmy doesn't really bloody like them.
But that's all right.
That's all right, though. Now, we have got a couple of voices from the faithful after the game against St Kilda.
We absolutely do, mate. And it was interesting scenes post-game. I think I'd thrown a pillow or two around the lounge room.
Pillow? Throw the remote around.
The remote.
Not good.
Can cause damage, that
Not
one.
Not good. Ashley Pallo. Sounds like pillow, but it's not. It's Pallo.
Hey, True Bloods. This is Ash from Wollongong. Feeling a little bit flat after the loss, but trying to focus on some positives.
That a girl.
Buddy goes to fourth on the all-time leading goal kickers list with a couple of snags tonight, and not a bad way to celebrate his 350th. And just a couple of stats I was really impressed with for Angus Sheldrick. He had the 19 disposals, 11 contested. He had 8 clearances, 21 pressure acts. I think it's a really good start for such a young and promising new contested beast. Anyway, on to next week. Up the Bloods, up the potty.
Good on you, Ash.
Good on you, Ash. Some, absolute positives to take out of the game there, no doubt.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. Here we go. We got Corey Martin.
Lads, Marto here. That game was like watching an elephant trying to fuck a giraffe. It was hard to watch, and it just was not working. Our inside 50 efficiency was just absolutely abysmal. I think we went about 32%. Yeah, absolute crap. I felt for Franklin tonight. The service he got, it was, the ball sat on his head all night.
And why did they do it?
Just picked him off. Yeah, absolutely terrible performance. I felt flat after the North Melbourne game, but yeah, this probably beats that. It's probably a true reflection of where we're really at, to be honest. Anyway, up the Bloods, up the potty.
It's true. Why do they do that, Deebs? Why don't they kick it out in front of him and let him lead up to it? Why do they kick it on his head? Why?
Oh, if it was that easy, they'd just fucking put it down in front of him and he'd run onto it, wouldn't they?
No,
but I'm telling you, the pressure was fucking awesome on the weekend.
Yeah, of course
it
was. Of course it was, but we do it in every other game too. Cyril Eilert. Eilert.
Mads, Deebs, Faithful, it's Cyril from Boronia here. Although I'm Cyril from Bondi. I just went swimming in my Speedos. Wait. I'm just calling for a bit of perspective here. Stick fat, as you say. Swans, stay happy. We've still got Errol. We've still got Braden and his left foot. And I experienced the SCG for the first time last night. Fuck, it's party time. Hotties everywhere. Partying when Paps kicks goals. Saw Bud go to fourth on the list. Saw Bud rocking the SCG. I know it sucked losing, but I got Juzzy Max autograph on the back of my number 27, so I'm happy. And, just enjoy the wins and keep filtering through, see who's good. Keep positive and, hopefully we win next week. Love from Cyril. Up the potty.
On you, Cyril. Yeah, that's a really good perspective to have. Unfortunately, I cannot hide my frustration with how it's going. I know we've got all those people that you're talking about. I still know that they can perform better than they are now, and that's the frustrating thing.
Yeah, and look, I think it changes when we just start to get a bit of continuity in
sure,
and that's when stuff can turn around. And you see the improvement from the young guys, and Just a bit of stability is what we need.
And we got one from Ross here.
Ross, a boss.
G'day, True Bloods. Ross from Gippsland here. Just want to talk about the game on Thursday night. I think it's pretty evident to see that, you know, the chopping and changing of personnel due to injuries is really taking its toll. Last year it was pretty basic. Break even, and or at least, you know, win the contested ball and you win, purely based on how elite our ball movement was. But now you've seen that, you know, the fact we're getting our continuity in a play is starting to creep into that second part of, I guess, that ball movement side of things. What I'd like to see moving forward, I get why John Longmire is playing an extra player at the stoppage, especially when we're down back. I don't mind that outnumbering in the back line, but what I'd really like to see is them not all be around the contest. You know, too many times on the weekend they got sucked into the contest,
oh,
and then it was a dump kink out of defence. So, again, use the extra number back in defence in the vicinity of the play, and then we can hopefully get a handball movement going and then, you know, get out of play, because there was far too often we just did not utilise that extra player. So, keep sticking at it, Sydney. No doubt we'll bounce back. And as we said, we know why we're at. We're at.
He's got to be a coach.
Yeah.
I've said it before.
He's very good, isn't
he? He's very good.
Yeah. No, he reads the game pretty well. And, yeah, it's a structural thing, that extra going to the contest for sure. And it's probably that's why the midfield battle has been evened up in the last month for sure. The numbers are better in there. But you make some good points.
Do you want to do we have some more on the Insta? The post game?
Not post game. No.
Okay, stuff it. Can you please do us a favour and read out the social
question? I can.
Question?
We went with hashtag ask the faithful. He said. Madison Clark said, what is wrong with our beloved? This has been the general theme of tonight. What is wrong with our beloved footy club at the moment? Feel free to vent away. It can be cathartic.
Cathartic, yes. New word today, Dable.
It was. I had to go the old define cathartic, you know, just work on the vocabulary.
Very
best
good.
Answers to be featured on tonight's potty. Now, over on your Twitter, Mads, Simon the Stonemason goes with our kicking. Oh, God, our kicking. And it's all facets of the kicking on the weekend. Couldn't hit targets, couldn't kick goals. It's skill execution, and it's what we built our game on last year, and it's big issue to what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Got another one there?
Yeah, Ben Grant goes with, it's a fine line between winning and losing. Sure, injuries, maybe depth. Reckon it's very hard to replace Joey Kennedy like for like, but he's definitely getting older. All that aside, the team is exposed to the modern game, the 6-6-6, and now the tackling fiasco. Basics should be see ball, get ball. Go Swans.
Should we have... You'll love this. Should we have asked the question about Tom Mitchell?
Why didn't we go for him? As in, or like...
Well, just when he was available, should we have asked the question?
Yeah, I don't think he was going out of Melbourne. I don't think it's even in the conversation, but geez, he would have been good for us. And he's even sort of doing a bit of a different role for Collingwood. He's
bloody getting contested footy, though.
Contested, yeah. Look at me, 100% he would have been the perfect player.
My grandpa used to... He didn't watch the VFL. It wasn't as easy to watch the VFL back when...
The Neafl.
The Neafl. But he'd... Papa would look at the stats in the paper, and when he wasn't getting a game, you know, he wasn't getting a game for ages. He's like, oh, Tom Mitchell had 45 again. Oh, didn't get picked. Oh, we'll be seeing him later.
You gotta watch the podcast that he did with Will Schofield.
Oh, no, I haven't watched
gotta
that.
Gotta watch it. Makes a lot of sense. He was always going, like, after he's, like, just tearing it up for like 4 to 6 weeks, and you know, we were flying as well. That was part of the problem, but he just could not work his way into the side. Yeah, and he got into the side but never felt like he was, you know, a relied upon player.
Yeah, right.
It's a good watch.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Todd Damien.
Todd Vegan.
Lads, faithful, it's Todd Damien here, the Vegan Swan. What's wrong with our club at the moment? Well, I think it's confidence and structure or game plan. We just looked rudderless on Thursday night. That first quarter was so frustrating when, you know, Chad got the ball, booted it off to the wing, the pocket, Will Haywood got it, and he pinged it back into the middle. Great being unselfish. We needed one of those boys to stand up and fucking kick the ball at the goals. It's just a lack of confidence. The boys, we've got the skill. We don't have the game plan that I could see.
Mentally, we're not there.
Look, it's all learning, and it's all learning lessons, and fucking up the bloods, we'll be right. The next couple of years, we're getting the granny.
I agree.
Yeah. No, we've got the team to do it. There's no doubt. We saw it yesterday. Last year. I got Jonah Finley over on the Instagram. He says, I feel they tried to play too safe and are scared to kick it forward.
Yeah, we are playing scared.
Sometimes they hand pass one too many times and turn the ball over.
You're overusing it.
As well as simple skills need to be addressed. But the main problem is I don't see much belief and fire in the team. They don't want it as much as they did last year.
They don't want it enough.
We need the blood spirit. And yes. Also the swarm. He goes with, it's the trifecta for mine.
For yours.
Number one, our young side got humiliated in front of 100,000 people live and 4 million Australia-wide. They are shattered and the season came too soon. And this season came too soon for them to recover. Number two, injuries. However, Melbourne put us to a 50-point hiding with a full squad. So I advise a pinch of salt with the injury justification, though significant at times. He said, number three, the 2022 postseason recruiting and the drafting strategy was non-existent. Other teams were active and got better. We didn't.
I've written this down here, Deeble.
Yep.
I answered the Ask the Faithful question myself.
Yep.
I said in capital letters, it, full stop, all, full stop, comes, full stop, back, full stop, to, full stop, the, full stop, trade period.
Yeah.
And for mine, Deeble.
For yours, Madison.
It does.
Yeah.
Because we got Aaron Francis.
Yeah, it's a big lesson. A big lesson. You've got to be active. If there's someone there to improve your list, you've got to have a go. But this is what I do say in, not in rebuttal to it, but a point to think about, is we have signed a fuckload of players.
Yeah, sure.
And there may literally not be the cap, especially last year, to go after players to improve. And whether that's good enough or not, I'm not saying whether it's both ways, but that is a point that has to be brought up to why we were inactive.
I think the point was, yes, we've signed a lot of players, but we did not replace Josh Kennedy.
Yeah.
So forget about your nice-to-haves, right? We needed to replace Josh Kennedy.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing. Yes, now we look at it, we're like, yes, of course. But last year we made a grand final. It was all happy families fucking winning games of footy. That's why.
Yeah, but we did that without injuries.
Yeah, I know.
So this is my point.
Yeah.
Surely you look at that in an off season. You assess the season and say, well, okay, we got pants in a grand final, but we had a bloody good season. Now, why do we think we had a bloody good season? Hang on. In the last 11 weeks, we only made 6 changes. Is that likely to happen again? No. Okay, let's get an inside ball and free up some people.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to have depth.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take your point.
It's a disgrace.
Mate, come on, mate. Mods. Come on.
Mods.
True Bloods, faithful.
Love
it's Mods. Mods here in London, recording this in the foyer of the hotel with the Muzak in the background and a bunch of to and froms looking at me like I'm some kind of idiot. For mine, boys.
For yours.
There's an equation. 13 wins and we're giving it a tilt. We're in the finals. How do we do that?
Win 8 in a row.
We keep the structure as it is and only bring in players when they've proven themselves in the Magoos, especially those that have been injured for a while and aren't necessarily as fit as they maybe think they are. So putting your hand up and putting yourself in the side when you're not underdone doesn't do us any favours. We've got to win 8 more games. Then we can have a tilt. Stick fat, up the bloods, up the potty.
He's a good fella, Mods.
Good fella, Mods.
He makes a good point in the sense that continuity, as you rightly mentioned before, is a critically important facet of this. If you try and make some semblance of continuity with the cattle that we've got and then just sort of bring in people and add to that when absolutely necessary,
yeah,
then you can start to build on that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad shout. But just, yeah, just throwing people around left, right and centre. It's not working.
It's not. Joel Brown, big Joely hasn't contributed for a while. Good to have you back, mate. He says, combination of things. Last year, we may have overachieved. The injuries to half the back line doesn't help. Then factor in the rest of the spine with Mills, McDonald getting injured. For yours. The biggest factor is the lack of depth in the VFL team. I know we just topped up with the mid-season draft, but we parted company with several players who have played at the top level. Some very young faces and inexperience in our VFL side at the moment. Perhaps time to get some games into them as finals are well and truly off the table, in my opinion. Let's touch on the VFL. They had their first win on the weekend.
They did.
Beat Sandy up in Sydney. Big Jack Buller kicked five.
Kick five?
Five goals.
Five.
Could be coming in into the side.
Jeez.
Legit, depending.
Five's, you know, big.
Big. A couple of big grabs in there. I haven't seen a lot of it. But, yeah, he was good. Dill had a little bit of it.
Missed Dill.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting what happens there. But, yeah, the VFL was good to the for them to have a win over the weekend.
For sure.
Friday, I think it was.
And I guess that comes back to my point about the depth.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear.
That's it.
Now, Wazza Brown had a really fun day at the fan day on, was it Friday?
Saturday. Yeah.
Had the Tom Papley True Bloods t-shirt on.
He's posted all over the Sydney Swans social, so we appreciate that,
yeah,
Wazza.
Yeah, we love that.
Getting your grill in there.
Yeah, we love that. He's Wazza.
Mads, Deebs, True Bloods faithful. In response to the Ask the Faithful question, you know, for mine, with ball in hand, we look a little nervous, probably more nervous than a postman at a dog show, if you ask me. We look so unsure of our plan, and not to mention a little unpolished, especially in front of goals. And I understand a contributing factor that we've had is an injury list longer than the River Nile, which has meant, you know, fringe players along with seasoned players are coming in and out, playing roles they're not used to, and we're slightly off rhythm and tempo. I'm backing a big performance this week on the back of the VFL first win of the season. I think that will just get morale up a little bit around the club.
Morale.
I just want to also take a moment to encourage the faithful to stick fat and not go down the path of the Carlton supporters. By all means, have some constructive criticism, but you know, some of the comments in social media land are not warranted. This great club will bounce back and give the faithful plenty more great times. Up the potty and up the Bloods.
Jeez, he's a good fellow.
He's good. He said it really well there. Good on you, Wazza. We've got Chris Grant over on your Facebook.
Chris Grant,
former Western Bulldogs player. Missed out on a Brownlow. Suspended. But yeah, Chris Grant, big fan of True Bloods. He says, what is wrong with the Swans in 2023? Football is an easy game, really.
It is.
As there are only three phases to it. We have the ball, they have the ball is in dispute. Right now, we are not good when the ball is in dispute. I can't even read. Right now, we are not good at the when the ball is in dispute phase of the game, which means more pressure on the Swans in the they have the ball phase. This is very tiring, which it in turn means it is less. We have less energy when we do when we have the ball phase. Very hard to read this. And this leads to more ball in dispute. And they have the ball phases. Pretty simple, really. Oh, don't know about that. You made that very complex, Chris. Maybe go back to the dog, son.
I reckon that was very clear, actually.
Yeah.
It's,
I just can't read.
Yeah.
Semi-bloody illiterate.
No, and I've written a bestseller.
Very, very good stuff, Chris. Don't mind me, mate.
That was actually really good because He's absolutely right, because if you don't get one of them right, it makes the other two extremely
puts more pressure
difficult.
On the other one, for sure.
Very good, Chris.
Couple more voices there.
Couple more voices. Me, Tab Singh.
Hey, True Bloods, it's Matab here from Taylor's Hill.
Matab.
Just wanted to run through some things with you.
Put the impasse on the wrong syllable.
Weekend, pretty disappointing. Just wanted to run through you guys about the role of Ryan Clark lately. He was not really up to par. I didn't really rate his performance that much. Not a knock on the player, but I really don't see him as a contributing factor in the best 22 anymore. Rather give Corey Warner a go and let him play forward normally, because that Jack Sinclair just went off the leash. Adam Saad last weekend, yeah, maybe, but wasn't that great. Also wanted to make some tough calls for the end of the season that I'm calling early. As if I was a list manager, I would be saying Will Gould, delist trade, Sam Reed, delist trade, Hickey, delist, back Laddams and McAndrew for next year, or get another ruckman, maybe Briggs or anyone from GWS. They got plenty. Dylan Stevens going early, we could trade him, but a lot to think about. But I think Gould is good as God now. And I've been calling it all season. We're finally back Sheldrick in the middle, and he was probably one of our best midfielders in there. And that, for me, concerns me, because even Heaney, he did receive a knock, but he did not have any influence at all. So I feel like, though, we still back him in the middle. We give him all that time, because we'll have plenty of forwards going in the future. Let's just future plan at this stage.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I really don't disagree with any of the points he brought up with the D-list slash trade.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Tom Isaacson.
G'day, Deebs, Mads, Faithful. Tommy Isaac here from WA. Just in response to the Ask the Faithful question. And for mine...
For yours!
I want to remind the Faithful that we have actually produced some great quarters of football this year. The problem has been consistency and stringing together four quarters of good football in a row. But hey, that's natural for a young side. And at least we're not West Coast, North Melbourne or Carlton. Anyway, up the Swannies and up the potty.
And that probably wraps it up. I'm sorry, there are a few more there. We're just trying to keep this a little bit short. He does make a really good point there, Tom. We're not those clubs.
No.
Right? And we are young. And I think that escapes me sometimes because we watch them closer than anybody else.
Nah, I think what makes us sort of forget that factor of it is we were so bloody good last year for a big period of time, and you sort of lose. We probably outperformed where we were.
Yeah, overperformed for sure.
And, you know, it's a bit of a crash back down to earth this year so far. Yeah. That's what it is, and it kills you. Like,
it's hard to take.
Yeah. Like, we just want to be winning and be up there competing with the best sides, and we know we're so capable, but there's just too many, you know, cogs that aren't
turning
at the moment, simply. But
well, look, that was the social segment. Thank you to Wheeler's Oyster Farm for your constant sponsorship and support of the social segment. And thank you, Faithful, for contributing. We love it. We love it. I know there's some we missed. We'll get you next time. And we'll be back with the preview of the clash against Brisbane. You know, Deeble, I wasn't much of a dog person until I met my dog, Leo.
He's a good boy, Leo.
He's a good boy. You know where I leave him when I go to
where
work?
Where do you leave him, Mads?
I leave him in the capable hands of Matt Donnelly at Man's Best Friend Melbourne. He specialises in dog walking around the Stonington Council area, on lead only, small groups, dog sitting overnight, and he also does puppy training one-on-one, Deeble.
Well, you find Matt Donnelly at Man's Best Friend Melbourne on your Instagrams, Mads, and he's on your Facebooks as well. So hit up Matty and he'll get you sorted.
Jeez, I think Leo could do with a bit of that one-on-one training, Deeble. Mention the pod and book any service and get a Swans dog tag engraved. How good is that?
You know what I love, Mads?
What do you love, Deebs?
I love the Swannies.
Oh, so do I.
You know what I hate, Mads?
What do you hate?
It's how no one talks about it.
Oh, doesn't it just kill you?
Now, Faithful, I need you to jump on your socials. We're on your Instagrams, we're on your Facebooks, so jump on there and give us a follow. If you listen on Spotify, follow and rate 5 stars. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, rate 5 stars and leave us a glowing review. The Faithful support is what makes this potty what it is. Speaking words of wisdom,
up the Swannies!
Welcome back to True Bloods, the preview for the... Can we keep saying simply must win? Simply must win clash against the Lions up at the Gabba. It'll be 7:50 on Friday night, I'm sure. That's what time they normally are. And, we're up against it, Mads. They're a pretty good outfit, although Hawthorn showed that they are beatable, but they do tend to be relatively average away from the Gabba. But, mate, the Lions, they're a good footy side.
They're phenomenal. And I really rate them highly. It does make it hard if you can't play football at the MCG.
It does.
Come September.
Yeah, they did manage to beat, who was it, Melbourne last year,
mm-hmm.
a semi-final.
I was there.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. So
look, Deebs, this is probably a game we win.
Yeah. I think we can.
I honestly think it is.
Yeah.
All you have to do is, I mean, you never know what Joe Danaher you're going to get. You never know what Eric Hipwood you're going to get.
Yeah.
Charlie Cameron always does a fair bit of damage against us, as far as I know. Lockie Neal's always troublesome. Who do you do? Do you do Isaac Heaney head-to-head?
With who?
Lockie Neal?
Quite possibly. Interesting stats on Lockie Neal on the drive-in. He's the 256th rated player in the competition via Champion Data.
Deebs, I'm going to... Champion Data's a crock of shit.
Yeah, I know, but there's because they reward accuracy and efficiency and that type of thing, but he's very similar to... Who's a player I was thinking of? I can't really remember.
Ryan Clark.
Yeah, turns it over, butchers the footy, but wins it. He's the third in the competition for, you know, hard ball gets and that type of stuff. So, you know what you're getting. But, yeah, you could go to Lockie Neal. I would possibly... I watch Josh Dunkley go around weekly.
He's berserk.
Fucking player, mate.
He's a player.
You'd love to have him.
Yeah, well, you know what? He was unfortunately never a chance for us.
Yeah.
Should have been.
Yeah.
Could have been. Father, son.
Yeah.
Never a chance.
He's in the ilk of Callum Mills.
Absolutely.
So two-way mid, very good defensively.
Oh, can play heaps of positions. Yeah. Man. He's big.
Yeah, good overhead. He is one to worry about. I'm probably sending to Charlie Cameron.
Who?
Harry Cunningham.
It's the only option.
Got the legs to go with him. Like,
only
he's still
option.
Got the... How old's Harry Cunningham?
Oh,
30?
30.
Got the legs to go with him. I would like to see, you know, just shut him down.
See, Harry is a good sub.
Yeah. Yes.
Harry's a great sub.
Great sub.
He can play forward. He can play defense.
Sensational
call,
Matt.
100%.
Yeah. And, yeah, who's their ruckman? You got Oscar McInerney getting around. You know...
Clark Keating.
He's
still around.
He could still be getting around, I think, mate. not bad from you. But Daniel Rich got injured on the weekend, I think. So don't have to worry.
He's raking left boot.
Raking left foot, getting cheapies off the half back line and using it well. They sort of use Connor McKenna a bit like that, run and gun.
Oh, top of the morning to you, dude.
Top of the morning.
Good effort.
You're throwing me off there, mate. But you got, Harris Andrews up back.
Yeah.
You know, reads the ball.
He's going to make it tough for the Budwa.
The Budwa. I'll stick Budwa deep. This is the thing. Just the way the modern footy is played. Even if you're playing deep, you're up the ground on the squeeze. Like,
yep.
So it's like you're not... playing that deep forward like they used to. The 6-6-6.
Well, because there were times against St Kilda where we had that squeeze on and then we had nothing to kick to.
Nothing to kick to. I'd like to see Armadi,
Big day for Armadi.
Big day for Armadi. Got another week's training under the belt. You know, got the cobwebs out. He was crashing the packs. He was throwing himself at the contest on the weekend. But, yeah, how do we go about beating the Lions, mate?
Simple. Execute. Take opportunities.
Yeah.
It's really... It's not a hard game, footy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you just kick the ball straight when you have a set shot.
Set shot.
And hit targets.
For
all
you
got to do. Now, a concerning part of our game against St Kilda was the tackling differential. And if you remember this game against Brisbane last year, the tackling was absolutely ferocious.
Yeah.
We need to step it up in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit down. It's,
well, I think we were negative 39 or something.
Something. Yeah, I think it was 27. Was it 39 tackles?
I think so.
I did see 39 somewhere. Could be that stat. But yeah, for when, you know, they're getting on top and you know, beating us in a tackling number like that, it's huge.
Like, that's a massive huge differential number, man. So you even up the contest, half the contest in the middle.
Yeah, and that's what has been better. And this is our issue, right? For a good month period there, probably pre-North and North game, it was the midfield work, you know, yep, getting belted out of the center, the contest, right? But that's evened up in the past month. They've been a lot better, even down on personnel from time to time in there as well.
But you got to keep it going, and that's
you do, and this, you need to keep that going, and then, you know, a bit of scoreboard impact and put the scoreboard pressure on, and, you know, things to start to flow from there. It'll be interesting to see whether the Liz is playing this week. I think he could be, you know, missing with that toe, especially not going into that game. You know, yeah, from the first bounce, he wasn't looking right, was
tackling
he?
Differentials, 60-99.
60-99.
That's berserk.
Nearly 100 tackles. That's got to be nearly a record, doesn't it? That's
but also
berserk.
A place where we have let ourselves down as well, when it's in there, keeping it in there.
Yeah.
Our forward pressure hasn't been what it was last year.
Definitely not. I think it was better against Carlton last week.
It was.
And, you know, Wixie had a really good game, yep, and, you know, we were able to retain the ball in there a little bit, mm-hmm, but yeah, something that's definitely got a lift. You know, Wixie's had a quiet game on the weekend, kicked that one goal, I think.
Yep.
You know, he's got a lift and bring that pressure and, you know, be an igniter in there. He, you know, he's got that mongrel factor, and that's what we need him to bring.
Do you make any changes aside from the obvious Luke Parker in?
Luke Parker in. It's
And you're playing Amati?
I think I'm playing Amati up forward. I like what he brings. Hopefully Tom McCartan is in, although I wouldn't
be. Is
he
a test?
He's a test. And remember Horses Presser last week?
I didn't watch it.
He said he's every chance to come back after the bye.
I turned off the football. I turned it off with 5 minutes to go. And no, I no, said, no, that'll be that.
This was the week before post Carlton game.
Post Carlton game. Yeah, right.
So if.
We didn't play Carlton the week. Oh, we had the bye. Okay, yeah, 2 weeks ago. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. No, you're right.
So hopefully Tommy's coming back in. I think it's time for Francis to go back to the twos.
For sure.
He's frustrating me. But it's, yeah, once again, not through lack of effort. It's just...
Not working.
Yeah, he's not what we need. But I'll tell you what, I'm liking Lewis Malekin in the side. It's,
that's someone we didn't touch on because I think he's been quite good.
Quite good, and he doesn't need to be having a lot of the ball to, you know, be doing his job. But, you know, he's going to go to... He would probably go to Danaher.
Danaher.
I would say he did a pretty good job on, although Charlie had the 11 grabs right, I feel like he was in good positions. And, you know, if you, the big forward up there is just defeating your one-on-one, you need the support. So
yeah,
it's going to be
sure,
pretty clear that we're going to need to get a couple to the contest. I'll tell you who we need a lift out of, Mads.
Who?
And he's one of our men on here.
Oh.
It's Will Haywood.
Yeah, big time.
He's lacking form. That, you know, he's just not as influential on the match. He was a genuine match winner last year. And
need scoreboard impact.
Scoreboard impact from Wilbur.
And you know what? We love Deeble.
What do we love?
Scoreboard impact.
We do. Especially when they come from midfielders mostly. But we want some from Wilbur too.
Absolutely.
Because we know the player that Wilbur can be. And he was so, so good for us last year. And we just need a little bit more out of you, mate. A little bit more. That's my invitation to the party this week.
I am inviting Isaac Heaney once again.
Once again.
Once again.
There's only so many invitations.
Doesn't matter.
Throw out.
Well, he can just RSVP if possible.
RSVP weekly.
I want consistency out of Haynes.
Yeah.
I want to say, yeah, we've got Isaac Heaney. We've got that guy. You always know what you're going to get out of him.
Yeah.
You know, if he's playing in the guts, he's going to have 7 tackles. He's going to have 25, you know. I really want him to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was dead set after the Carlton game. I was so excited about him being in the midfield.
Yeah.
And I just don't want it to be a situation where, you know, we still don't know whether he's a forward or a midfielder. I really want to take it on, take the game on.
Yeah.
Take on the mantle of being that midfielder.
I'm giving him a month. I'm giving him a month to find his feet in there. He's never had a good run at being a solemn midfielder. And yes, I know he's been in the system a long time, but it's something that he hasn't done at AFL level consistently. Mm. So I'm giving him some time. He's got a bit of leeway for mine.
So you're for yours, Dable. So you're inviting Wilbur. I'm inviting Haynes. I really think we need a big game out of Tom Papley again.
Yeah.
Right? I know he kicked the 2 goals against St Kilda, which was good. He kicked the goals when we needed them. But he's still, you know, since those 6 goals he kicked against Richmond, he hasn't been the guy that we know and love.
Yeah, well, he didn't have a clearance on the weekend, which yep. is...
unlike him.
Yeah, he was around the mark too.
I think he had the first CBA.
The centre bounce attendance.
Big Phil.
Big Phil's number one go-to stat. But yeah, look, I think he looks dangerous around the ball. I think he's back in a little bit of form, finding it, kicking goals. Yeah, he can definitely lift.
Well, one person we didn't mention on the review is that Chadwick did okay, right? The Chadwick's had 7 tackles and 24 disposals against St Kilda. I really want to see him take it on himself to kick goals.
Yeah.
There were times that he passed it off when he really should have had a shot.
That one killed over the head of Wixie. Yeah. Go back and kick that.
Go back and kick it.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. And there's one guy that does have the license. He is going to get caught holding the ball once or twice
and
a
that's
game.
Fine.
Right?
That's
and
fine.
I got
you
no issues. Yep. But one of them was in the defensive end. So that's
that kills me, Deeps.
So
you're giving me PTSD.
Yeah, that was a decision, made the incorrect decision. That's fine. He'll learn from that. But the burst from contest and the power that he has, they sort of just got to him. The week just gone against St Kilda, they were on him. Like he just wasn't quite able to put that one or two steps on his opponent.
Yeah.
And they were just affecting the kick. But,
for sure.
Yeah, look, he's been really good this year, coming off a breakout year. I think if we were travelling better, he's probably getting spoken about in a higher order. But, and man, we haven't mentioned this guy, Rowey. Man, it's nearly his fucking best game for the club. I think he had 17 contested, man.
Yeah.
9 clearances.
Oh, he just, that is one guy. See, contrast that to Haynes. You know what you're going to get out of James Rowbottom.
Yeah. Yeah, and Rowey's got to be that player weekly. He's got to be the JPK.
That he is.
Yep. You know, he's had the 24. They're the numbers.
That's like 10 more than he usually has. Yeah. What does he average?
He would average 16, I reckon.
What do you reckon, 16?
16, I reckon.
I reckon even less. I reckon 15. Let's have a quick squeeze.
Okay, you're putting him in your multi for, you know, the 15.
16.7.
Oh, I'm good.
He's good. So, you know, and he averages 10 contested disposals. So that game was well above his career average.
Yeah.
He's been good, man. He's quality. 22 years old. That he's something. He's something. Tough as nails.
And the DOS.
The DOS.
Look good in front of the ball as well. And that's where you've got to use his marking ability. Got to get
him. He's good at
clunking
him, isn't he?
Got to get to the as many contests as he can. I think he's got a bit to work on with his engine, because that's where you see these forwards go to the next level is when they get to more contests.
Yep.
But yeah, the Dostridge be good.
The Dostridge.
The Dostridge. One of our best mates is called Hoss, and we call him Hostridge.
Hostridge. Yeah.
So we're going with Dostridge.
Like it. But there you go, Liz. Dostridge from now on.
But yeah, it'll be disappointing if the Liz. Talking of Liz, the Liz Zed, fresh off the 7-year contract extension, whether he plays this week, it looked like a nasty, nasty toe injury.
Now, I thought he got it in that game.
Went into it 100%.
Really?
Yeah. pretty sure.
I thought it was very early in the game, yeah. But hey, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. We really missed against the Saints is his run and carry through the corridor. And I don't think we're going to have it again this week. So the onus is on the – in fact, I'll send out another invite to the coaching fraternity at the Sydney Swans, because this is something that you need to be prepared for and say, okay, if the game's not going our way, what are we going to do to stem the flow, maintain possession, and try and work our way back into it? Because Lions at the Gabba, it's no – easy task, and it's something that you have to consider. You know, where have we been losing games? We've been getting run over. Let's just try and stop that from happening, boys.
For sure. But yes.
What do you think?
I think I just want to lift from the midfield, and if they're too good for us, they're too good for us. Yeah, so be it.
Mate, I just don't want to die wondering at the end of this game.
For sure. Look, I'll back in the boys. I'm backing in the boys. This is when we do our best work. No one expects us to win, and we get it done by 3 goals away from home.
Yeah, sure. We've done it before. Remember Errol and Braden's first game?
Yep, first game 2 years ago.
If we lose, it's season over.
Curtains. Yep.
So we win by a goal.
Win by a goal, keep the season alive.
And then just
play West Coast next week. Go to 8-8. Let's go, baby.
Yep, and 7-7. Never lose again.
Never lose again. Go on an absolute rampage. But we might jump into the rest of the games, Mads.
Oh, I've quit tipping.
Yep, we're no good.
I'm over. How many did you tip this week?
3 out of 8 for myself.
Likewise.
It's bloody tough.
What is it about this year? Is it just upsets or are we just dumb?
No, I just don't think we're good tippers, personally.
But, I mean, it's literally a 50-50 flip of the coin. Why? What's happened with us? We're meant to be learned, knowledgeable students of the game.
Just not quite.
We just have no idea.
11 off the pace. But the Swan 2021 tip 5 winners. And he's on 79. Jezza B on 79. Dale Image Online 78. Pie in the Sky.
Peter Gotsis.
Big Pete on 78. He is the target faithful.
Yes, he is.
And
the target.
Anson William and Cam Mack on 77. So
Willie
keep
A.
tipping well, Swanies supporters, please. But we've got the game on Thursday night at the Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide and the Geelong Footy Club.
That's a good game.
Port. Swannies against the Lions, and we've got on Saturday afternoon, Giants Stadium, GWS and Frio.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
Yeah. I think Frio wins.
Frio, I think.
Don't know, though.
Yeah, well, do we ever?
No. Saturday night, Richmond versus St Kilda.
Saints,
I agree. Upset.
Upset?
Well, yeah, $2.10 to $1.70.
That's a disgrace.
Can
we talk about Marlon Pickett for a second?
There's nothing to discuss here, mate. There's an investigation going on. We won't comment. Carlton and the Gold Coast. Can you believe that Carlton go in favourites to that as well?
You're shitting me.
No. Gold Coast is travelling all right for mine.
Gee, for yours, Dable. Gold Coast will win.
Yeah, Gold Coast.
Is that in Gold Coast?
No.
MCG. Where is it? MCG.
And on Sunday to round out the round, the Dogs and North Melbourne. A few more buyers getting around this week.
Jeez. Dogs.
Yeah, doggies. Doggies as well, but mate, we bounce back. We fight.
We do.
We'll fight. We never give up.
We never give up. We never give up. Never, ever, ever count us out. And again, don't knock us because we're frustrated. We bleed for this club. That's why we come in here of a Tuesday evening and talk about them for 2 hours. Don't knock us because we're being a little bit negative. We're just frustrated and we just know that we're so much better than
capable of so much better.
But also stick with us. Stick with this club. Stick with True Blood.
Stick with the potty.
There are better times ahead.
Now, Matt, it's just a touch on a little bit of housekeeping.
A little bit of housekeeping.
Say, we still got the beanies on the website, mate. There's a handful.
Can't have that many.
There is a handful.
Yeah, we love the beanies.
So jump on there.
And they're not far away. They should be in our hot little hands, I would say, next week.
Hopefully next week. Yep. So I would expect to get out by the week after to get them all out. We've got the steak night at the Riser. Wednesday night.
Steak night.
$25. Nice bit of porterhouse.
Oh, yes.
Sensational. You get it medium rare. You get your chips. You get your salad. And you get your choice of sauce as well. It's the mushroom gravy for me every time.
Mushroom gravy for yours, Deeble. Yes. That's what we always get when we go down there. And it's bloody phenomenal.
So good.
Great steaks.
So good. And we've also got the Fluorio Gin True Bloods edition, mate. They're great. They look so good. The bottles are sensational. Even if you don't drink gin, just buy one to chuck it up on the mantelpiece.
It makes
your bar.
Tell you what we've also got.
What have we got?
Aside from the Fluorio Gin, where you will be able to get True Bloods cocktails at the Rising Sun for the game against West Coast.
We do, yeah. We do have that coming up. The True Bloods room upstairs will be there.
Is that on the 24th?
24th, and we'll be really building that up. They've got your drink specials, as we've mentioned on the ad. It'll be a really big event. So if you are in Melbourne, if you can't get to the game, travel down from Sydney, come to the Riser with us. You know, get there, Mads.
It's good, yeah. John Nalise, great folks. Come and support the Riser.
For sure.
But that probably wraps us up.
It does, mate, but we appreciate everyone's support who supports the show. We love doing it, and you know, you supporting us like this makes the wheels turn and keeps the lights on at True Bloods, Mads. But this has been True Bloods, the number one independent Sydney Swans fan podcast. We're number one in the hearts and number one on your charts, Mads. Speaking words of wisdom,
up the potty.
You know what the best thing about the Rising Sun South Melbourne is, Mads?
What's that, Deeble?
It's the steaks down at the Riser.
Oh, we love the steaks down at the Riser.
They've got your porterhouses, they've got your eye fillets, and if you really want to treat yourself, Mads, they've got the ribeye from Cape Grim, which is absolutely sensational.
You know what? Might even get stuck into a South Melbourne dim sim while I'm down there too, Deeble.
For sure. They've got the new chili mussels and the Asian-style pork belly as well as a special this month. So get on down to the Riser for a feed.
Plenty of gluten-free options too.